Okay, everybody. Hopefully you are super clear now on when to test and why to test for SIBO. Now let's move on to how to test for SIBO. So the test that we recommend is the lactulose breath test. You will see two types of tests on the market for SIBO as far as breath testing is concerned. One is lactulose and the other is glucose. So how these tests work is basically we will have people do a preparation diet, which is a very specific diet that's done for about 36 hours prior to the test. And this particular diet is going to strip the diet of largely of all fiber. Fiber does naturally produce gas. And so in order to see if the gas that is occurring in somebody's intestine is from SIBO versus somebody's diet, we need to first take the fiber out. This is a very, very important component of proper and accurate testing. So once the preparation diet is completed, then the individual will basically drink a lactulose sugar. So this is just a sugar that will feed SIBO. So when they've done this preparation diet and then they take this lactulose drink, this can all be done in the comfort of their own home. The lab companies that we told you to do SIBO testing with earlier on in the course will provide you a test kit that includes the lactulose with inside the kit. So you'll just give your clients the kit. It will have the lactulose drink inside of it. You'll instruct them on the test, on the prep diet. In your handout section of this module, you will see some prep diet instructions on how to do this prep diet. The prep diet instructions are also included in the test kits themselves most of the time. I say most of the time because sometimes lab companies change their policies, and so it's just good to be aware to verify that the test are still including those test kits at any given time, or including the instructions at any given time, and then printing them out from this course content to also have on file for yourself. And so you'll give them the test kit. They'll do that preparation diet for 36 hours. They'll drink that lactulose drink upon being fasting. We want to make sure this test is done fasting overnight. And they're actually not going to even have any water for the first part of the test. That is all discussed in the handout section for how to do the SIBO prep diet and the SIBO preparation for this test. Once they drink that lactulose drink, that lactulose will feed the intestinal organisms if they're overgrown, if they're in the small intestine. And then basically, about every 20 to 30 minutes, depending upon the test, for a 3 hour time period, they will blow and collect their breath. So that lactulose is feeding that bacteria if it's there. That's causing a fermentation process to occur. That fermentation process can be measured in the breath. So the other thing that's really important is there's some tests out there that are using only hydrogen. Basically, the intestines, the organisms that are overgrown, they can produce hydrogen or methane gas. I am not sure why some companies are only testing for hydrogen when we see clearly in research that hydrogen or methane can cause small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. But that does exist. So making sure that you're getting a lactulose breath test that's 3 hours long, that involves hydrogen and methane, and you can use the one that we recommended in the course earlier because that includes all these parameters. But if you decide to go a different direction, these are the testing parameters that you really want to be aware of. Now, it's good to know there's not a perfect SIBO test. The gold standard for diagnosing SIBO is a duodenal aspirate. So it's actually taking aspirate from the duodenum to see if there's a overgrowth of microorganisms in that. And even in that gold standard, I still have my own reservations about the quality of that in certain situations because it's possible. And we see this in breath testing. It's possible that somebody has an overgrowth in the terminal ileum and not in the duodenum. So that's another thing that we really want to consider, that even though that's considered the gold standard, we still could have a situation where that could lead to false negatives because of just where they're testing. So the reason why we suggest lactulose instead of the glucose that's on the market is because of the fact that glucose is largely absorbed in the upper GI. So in order for the sugar to feed the organisms that say are overgrown lower in the small intestine, like in the terminal ileum area, we have to have the sugar make its way all the way to the terminal ileum, which glucose will not. Glucose will get through the duodenum and then largely be absorbed. So in further parts of the small intestine, such as the jejunum and ileum, that can basically lead to a false negative with a glucose test just because the glucose is not making it that far. Now, there was a research study that was looking and comparing glucose in relationship to duodenal aspirate and the positive SIBO versus lactulose. So that study found that glucose did a very good job at correlating with the duodenal aspirate in relationship to lactulose. And we largely believe the reason for that is that particular research study cut off the timing of looking for lactulose and its fermentation and its feeding of that intestinal overgrowth at the 90-minute mark. And we're going to talk about how to read these tests and why sometimes it's important to read these tests beyond the 90-minute mark of collection, because sometimes people don't actually have much SIBO until past that 90-minute mark. So the concern with glucose is that if there is overgrowth in the later parts of the intestinal tract, that glucose is basically going to lead to false negatives because that glucose is not going to make its way down to the lower parts of the small intestine to feed any of the overgrowth there. So we're hoping that the future will basically allow for a lot more information via better testing and via more accurate results. But it is important with SIBO to realize, as with all tests, that there's not a perfect test, that these tests are a great guide. They're one of our best guides that we have. But we'll talk later on, for example, about how some people can have SIFO and not SIBO, or have both SIBO and SIFO. And one of the advantages of treating with herbs, as far as the advantage over some certain pharmaceuticals, is pharmaceuticals tend to be pretty specific, most of them, regarding what type of microorganisms they're going to treat. So we all have antibacterials or antivirals or antihelmetics for our worm treatments, for example. And a lot of the herbals are wider than that, where they provide mechanisms to actually kill bacteria, viruses, and parasites, for example. So that's an advantage of using herbal treatment if we're in a situation where we're not 100% sure about a test like SIBO, but we're seeing something like small intestinal fungal overgrowth come up and there's a need to use antimicrobials. We can use antimicrobials that then are herbal that actually will work as killing both of these types of situations, both the fungal and the bacterial overgrowth, to help mitigate any sort of SIBO or disease or lab testing imperfections. So another thing with the future of SIBO testing is hydrogen sulfide. So we're talking here in the lactulose breath test about the importance of testing for both hydrogen and methane. There's actually a third type of gas that can basically be created by small intestinal bacteria, and this is called hydrogen sulfide. Now, there is a way of using the lab test that, even though it does not test, there's no test on the market for SIBO that's testing for hydrogen sulfide, there is a way of extrapolating the information on the lab test to actually determine if hydrogen sulfide is present, and we're going to teach you how to do that in later lessons. But we're hoping that the future of SIBO testing will actually just include hydrogen sulfide for increase of accuracy. There's also the idea of sampling pills that can be swallowed to take samples to give better information there. Now, this is what a SIBO test looks like. So in this particular lesson, I'm not going to tell you yet how to interpret this, but what I want to do is just first orient you with what a SIBO test looks like, and then in subsequent lessons, we'll look at the interpretation. So what you can see here is the type of gas. So you see hydrogen, you see methane, you see this combined. The combined, we're never going to use this row. Okay, because this row, we are going to actually interpret the data from hydrogen and methane separately, whether a organism is secreting a hydrogen gas or a methane gas. Actually has different diagnostic criteria, and this is based upon what is normally found in the intestinal tract and the amount of hydrogen that's normally found in health versus the amount of methane that's normally found in health. So there's going to be different diagnostic criteria for both of the hydrogen and methane, so we're never going to use the combined. And so I'm also going to advise you not to pay attention to this section up here where they are essentially telling you that bacteria overgrowth is suspected. And that's because if you remember from an earlier lesson, we talked about how these lab companies do not update their diagnostic criteria as fast as new research comes out. And since SIBO is a fairly new diagnostic, there's more information coming out every year about how to basically work with SIBO, and we work on keeping our information up to date with the North American Consensus, which is the group that is really evaluating the diagnostics for SIBO. So in the subsequent modules, we're going to tell you about what the North American Consensus, the latest to date information is on the interpretation of SIBO. We'll also tell you some things that we look for at our clinical practice on top of what the North American Consensus does that we've seen clinically relevant as well. And so again, you're really largely just going to pay attention to this box down here and to the hydrogen and methane levels. So now let's look a little bit more. We're going to talk a little bit more about some common testing errors, some things to just watch out for to make sure that your patients do a great test, as well as going into SIBO testing. We'll see you soon.